Good morning. I don't know about you guys, but I am thankful every week and every day for the worship team that we have here at this church. Are they not incredible? I mean, they are just awesome. They, every week, week in, week out, they lead us into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I don't know. If somebody can't worship to them, they better go find Jesus. That's all I got to say. They go find some Jesus. They are awesome. I agree. Well, we are working through this sermon series called It's Who We Are. We're talking about our core values here at Island Church. And we started off by talking about that word, and I immediately looked at my notes and looked at the wrong place and go, no, that's not right. Abide, our first core value, the word abide, which is all about relationship with Jesus, right? That's where it starts. That's like the founding block. That's where everything else about our church, and really should be the case for any church and any follower of Jesus, begins, and everything else just builds on from that. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. Then we moved on and talked about the core value we have of connect, right? And connecting is all about connecting with one another, right? Other followers of Jesus and that church family that we have. And this week, we're going to move into our third core value, and that's the value of share. Or sharing, and that is all about our relationship with the world. And you see that progression, right? A relationship with Jesus, a relationship with one another, a relationship with the world. We're going to dive into that, talk about that this week and some next week. Let's start with a word of prayer before we get into it this morning. Heavenly Father, we do love you so very much. We thank you so much, Father. We thank you for the wonderful, beautiful, and powerful name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the freedom and the opportunity, the privilege, the honor we have to come and worship you here this morning, Father. Lord, we thank you that our church is built upon the foundational rock of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us to take that so seriously that it's not just about the body, the multiples, the church, but it's also about us as individuals, the parts of the body of Christ. And that each one of us every day would commit ourselves to Christ and Him crucified. That we might abide in Jesus and Jesus might abide in us. And through that, we can connect with one another in the name of Jesus and Father, and we might share the name of Jesus with a world that desperately needs it. Be with us now and help us to put aside things we might be worrying about for after church this afternoon, meals or games or any of that kind of stuff. Father, help us to focus on you and you alone. We pray this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so as we look at this third core value of sharing this morning, this idea of share, I want to start with a couple of really important points that are things we need to understand about in order to get a feel for what does share really mean and look like. Where does it come from? And the first thing we need to understand is what might seem like a pretty simple thing, but not everybody sees it this way, and that is that Jesus was sent. Jesus was actually sent. And this is a major theme of particularly the Gospel of John. Jesus wasn't just like he didn't just arrive willy-nilly, right? Like some of us do sometimes when we're showing up places, right? It wasn't just like just because or on the spur of the moment that Jesus arrived on the scene here on earth. Nothing about Jesus's ministry, about his birth, about his life, about his death, nothing about it was random. Nothing about it was spur of the moment. Nothing about Jesus was or is random. We see this idea of sent, like I said, throughout the Gospel of John. I'm going to show a few places here. John chapter 4, in verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." This is my food, the thing that sustains me, right? That's what our food is. It's what nourishes us. It's what lets us grow. It's what sustains us to do what we do in life, to live. Jesus' food is to do the will of him who sent me. Him who sent me. Not him who thought maybe it might be time if I wanted to go do something that maybe might be okay. Nope, it was very intentional. He was sent. If we flip over a page or two, depending on your Bible translation, to chapter 5 of John, verse 30, Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. Think about that for just a second. Isn't that powerful? This is Jesus saying, I can do nothing on my own. How many times do we like start our day or start confront a problem or go into a relationship that's maybe difficult, a moment that's difficult, going, I can do this. I got this. And here Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who, what? Sent me. Right. God the Father. A couple more pages over in chapter 7. John 7, verse 16. So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. We're getting a theme here, right? I'm going to go one more. One over in chapter 8, another page, verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And we see similar words like this throughout the rest of the Gospel of John, and even earlier in John, this idea that all points to a common question, right? For, we know Jesus was sent, but what was he sent to do? What was his mission? What was his purpose? Why was Jesus sent? And that kind of brings us to our second point that I think we need to understand, and that is that Jesus was sent to bring light. Why did God send Jesus? To bring light. Listen to Jesus describe his own mission in John chapter 12. Flip over a few more pages here. John chapter 12, starting with verse 45. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Now he's talking about whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Now who sent him? God, right. Okay, just make sure we're all on the same page there, right? You see Jesus, you see God. That's a pretty significant statement there. And the next verse says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Man, that's his mission. That's why Jesus was sent into the world by God to us. Matter of fact, if we've read the Gospel of John, even before we get to, we're all the way over in chapter 12 right now, we should be able to see this like a whole lot earlier, because John chapter 1, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to start at the beginning, verse 1. I say that because I know what's coming. Let me read a few verses here. And this is John writing about Jesus and Jesus coming to earth, his birth. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice that the word Word is capitalized. That's because it's a proper name. It's a name for Jesus. Right? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, talking about the Word, Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty powerful. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light. All right, talking about John the Baptist. Some people get like confused about what his job was. He was not the light, but came to bear witness. That means give a testimony about, to tell about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. It means coming into the world behind John. And that was Jesus. Man, so what does this mean that Jesus was the light and that his mission was to bring light? Well, you know, what does light do? What's light do for us? Oh, it helps us see. Carla, I'm glad you're here this morning. I need some theological help, so I'm glad you're here. And in the front row, it helps us see, right? And that is true spiritually as well. Jesus, the light, allows us to see the truth about God. Allows us to know God, to know who God is, to have a personal relationship with God. And that's crazy because, see, on our own, without Jesus, we can't have a relationship with God. We can't even comprehend God. We can't understand God. He is too infinite. He is too just incredible. He's beyond what we even can comprehend of holiness. But Jesus is the light that lets us see and understand the character of God, the nature of God, the magnificence of God, and the truth about God. And that was his mission, right? To let us see that. I mean, that's what we read. Let's see, back here, John 12, 45. If I can get there. Here we go. 12, 45, 46. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. That's Jesus's mission. And so maybe you're thinking, okay, all right, preacher guy, I get it. Jesus was sent on a mission. His mission was to bring light into the world so that it would dispel the darkness, so that it would point us towards God, so that we would know God, so that we could understand the truth about God. But what does this have to do with me? That was Jesus. That was Jesus' mission. He was sent. He was sent to be the light, right? But what does this have to do with me, and what does this have to do with our core value here that we're talking about this morning called share? Well, I'm really glad that you spoke up and asked that this morning. Carla was whispering it right there. I can see her saying, why? What does this have to do with us? So I want to look, staying in John, to see if we can find an answer to that. A few pages over in John chapter 17. Remember, John chapter 17 is a really cool chapter. It is the record of an intimate conversation between Jesus and God the Father. And in it, we hear this prayer that Jesus is praying, and we really hear his heart. And I want to read to you two verses out of that. The first one is verse 18. And Jesus says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Now think about it for just a second. He is praying, and he's praying about his disciples and those who are following him. So he says, as you sent me into the world, remember that he was sent, right? As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And at this point, we're still going, okay, what's that got to do with us? Because he's talking about Matthew and Peter and John and James and all those guys, right? He's talking about them. But then just two verses later, in verse 20, he says, I do not ask for these only, the ones he just talked about, his disciples, right? I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, who's that? Oh, hey, that's us, right? That's everybody since the disciples. Everybody that didn't walk alongside Jesus and hear that directly, they got to read what the disciples wrote about him. We get to read what the disciples wrote, like what John has recorded and what we're reading right now out of John's gospel. And that's us. We're all believers. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So see, we're sent too. Just like the disciples, because he didn't ask that just for them. He asked it for us too. We see that also in John. I'm going to flip to John 20. John 20, verse 21. And this is after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, to his followers. And he said, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." As the Father intentionally, with a lot of forethought, with a plan in mind, sent me on a mission, in the same way I'm sending you, Jesus saying this to us, his followers, I'm sending you intentionally on a mission. You get what Jesus is saying in all this? He's saying he had a mission, but we have a mission too. That Jesus was sent to bring light, and we are sent to bring light too. With an extra O on the two, right? Also, and John doesn't have a monopoly on this. Matthew records in chapter 5, the beginning of near the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount, right? He says this, and I'm just going to read half of that verse. He says, "You are the light of the world." You. Now, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. But here's Jesus talking not just to his disciples, but to all those who claim to follow him. The crowd that was gathered there, however big it was, we know it was pretty big, right? Based on everything that happened there. You are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, but he is saying that we are also the light of the world. Now, I realize when I say that, some of us might get a little bit nervous inside. Because as soon as a preacher starts saying something like, we're all supposed to be the light of the world, and we all have a mission, and our mission is the same as Jesus' mission. You know, we're supposed to be the light into a dark world. I realize, you know, some of y'all might be like, okay, Charlie, that's fine for you. You went to seminary. You got prepared. You get paid to be a preacher and a pastor. That's fine for Paul. We've known him for years. That's what he's all about, is telling people about Jesus in all kinds of different ways. And that's great for you guys. But I'm not super comfortable telling everybody about Jesus and my belief. That's kind of a private thing. I'm not great with words, maybe. I don't like getting up in front of people. I'm worried that somebody's going to ask me questions, and they're going to ask me questions that I don't have like the perfect right answer to. Or maybe I'm just really, really afraid somebody's going to say no to me. And that's really hard to hear sometimes, isn't it? Especially when it's something we believe so strongly about. I want to take a minute. I want you to read one more passage with me. And this is actually in the book of 2 Corinthians. It's Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And in this passage, he's talking about this idea of Christ living in us, which is great. We're on mission for him, and it's the same mission he was on, that he's on it with us. That's a great thing, isn't it? If he's in us, we carry Christ where we go. But I want you to listen to this passage, because I think this might help a little bit with some of that fear that sometimes we have about like being the light and like meaning I need to actually say the name Jesus somewhere, right? So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says this, "But thanks be to God." Now remember, this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Well, that's a great like metaphor, isn't it? Spreads the fragrance through us, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Think about it. Some of us like we love cologne. I can tell because when I hug you, I get a lot of cologne, right? Some of us are like allergic to cologne. So if you're thinking of cologne and you're thinking this fragrance thing and it's kind of making your nose itch already, just me talking about it, think instead about something else like Thanksgiving dinner, cooking, right? That's a good smell, isn't it? Isn't that a pleasing aroma? Think about your favorite pizza joint. And when you just, you even, sometimes you pull up in the parking lot and you start smelling it. There's so much grease hanging over the place, right? You don't have to even walk in, much less have the pizza in front of you. Man, think of that smell that just makes you go, ooh. Maybe that's just me with food smells. I don't know. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Well, among those who are being saved, that would be those who are followers of Jesus, right? And among those who are perishing. We are carrying with us, we're supposed to be carrying with us the aroma of Jesus, even to people who are choosing not to follow Jesus. That's what he means by perishing, right? He's not just talking about people who are physically dying. He's talking about people who are spiritually dying because they have rejected Christ in their life. And we are the aroma of Christ to those who are living and those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. Wow. Let me read the next line here, and then I'll come back and talk about that one. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Think about that. For those who are coming to know Christ through the aroma of Christ in those who follow Jesus, that's us, to those people who are coming to know him, they are going from life to real life, like eternal life, right? Life with Jesus. But to those who have rejected Christ, when we are around them, our aroma is, the smell of Jesus is to them from death, like they're going to die on this earth, to death, meaning eternal death. Like there is no eternal life for them by their choosing. Either way, they smell us. Or I should say they smell the Jesus on and in us, right? And they're either smelling goodness and life and coming to life, or they are smelling something that they don't like so much. And that's significant because of where they are headed. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Man, isn't that powerful? We speak in Christ. Like Jesus gives us the words. It's not just us throwing out words that maybe we don't understand or that, you know, we don't know how to say the right words. Jesus speaks through us. I cannot tell you how many times my wife has gone to meet with somebody who wanted to talk, a woman who wanted to just talk about life and Jesus or some problem in their life going on. And when we get back together later, I just say something like, well, how'd it go? And she goes, you know, I couldn't even tell you what I said because I don't even know. Jesus just talked. I didn't even know. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. That's how I feel when I preach sometimes. I'm like, it's a good thing. Now, I kind of skipped over one really, 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 really important part in this as I read through it. I just read right through it and kept going. I did that intentionally because I want to come back and talk about it now that we've gotten this full context of the aroma of Christ leading life to life or death to death, and it's him speaking through us, right? I want to back up for just a second to verse 15. And it says there, I don't know if you caught this, it says, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Like, It's easy to read over that and just keep reading. But, you know, isn't it interesting that it doesn't say, for we are the aroma of Christ to them. It doesn't say we're the aroma of Christ to those whom we're reaching. It doesn't say we're the aroma of Christ, period. It's not about us, and it's not about them. For we are the aroma of Christ to God. And then it happens to be among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. But we are the aroma of Christ to God. The emphasis is not on us. The emphasis is not on them. The emphasis is on God. And that is a hugely liberating thing. God makes us known to others through our lives. I said us. I'm sorry. God makes himself known to others through our lives. See what happens when I worry about my words. God makes himself known to others through our lives. When we live our life abiding in Christ, when we have that abiding going on, that walking with Jesus regularly, all the time, 24/7, it spills over into our connection with other believers. That's what we have in common. We can have lots of things that are not in common, right? We can like different football teams, right? We can like different kinds of food, right? We can have different vocations. We can have children, not have children. We can be married or not be married. We can be dudes or we can be dudettes, right? I mean, whatever we are, all these are differences. What do we have in common? We have in common with every other believer, we have a relationship with Christ, right? That abiding. And it's all about our relationship with Jesus. And here's the deal. When we have that abiding, when we have that connecting, the world cannot help but see how we live our lives. They cannot help but see God. That's what they're seeing. It's not me and my words or my intelligence or any of that kind of stuff. Now, here's the deal. We share Jesus with others out of the overflow of our relationship with Jesus. And what I'm trying to say in all this is the pressure is off of us to, when it comes to sharing, we don't have to be super evangelists. We don't have to go to school and learn all the right words. We don't have to be somebody called to stand in a pulpit or called to lead a church or plant a church or to lead singing in a church or any of those things. What do we have to do? We have to abide in Jesus. Because when we abide in Jesus, we are the aroma of Christ to God among all those around us. We spend enough time with Jesus, we start smelling like Jesus. And that makes a difference in people's lives. It is all about our relationship with Jesus. Do you wish you were like better at sharing Jesus with other people or sharing your faith with other people? The answer to that is not take 10 courses on how to share Jesus without fear. Those aren't bad things. That's not the answer. The answer is spend time with Jesus. Do you want to like be confident to say what Jesus has done in your life? Spend more time with Jesus. People who are scared to death to talk about Jesus, I guarantee you, are people who are not spending time with Jesus. Because what happens in time when I spend time with Jesus, he pushes that stuff out of me. He pushes the fear out of me, and I'm not scared. I just talk about Jesus because I've spent so much time with him. He is a part of me. I smell like him because I've hung out with him, right? The Old Testament prophets, they would take people to study under them, apprentices, to learn their particular brand of theology about God, and they would talk about the apprentice was covered in the dust of their master. And what it meant is, as they walked around from town to town, they stayed so closely behind the prophet or the priest, the person they were studying behind, that the dust kicked off from his sandals would get on their clothes. And so they would carry the dust of their masters. We carry the smell of our master. We carry the aroma of our master, and that's Jesus. And if others are not getting that smell from us, then it's probably because we're not hanging out very much with Jesus ourselves. When we spend more time with Jesus, our lives will leave the aroma with Jesus everywhere we go, in everything we do, and in everything we say. In his book, Unburdened, that we've been referring to a lot during this series, Vance Pittman had a beautiful, beautiful quote that I want to give you, or a paragraph that I want to share with you. And he said this. He said, "What if the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus was made known everywhere your foot hit the ground this week?" Think about that a second. Think about that personally for just a second. What if that were true in the life of every Jesus follower in the world? Every school, every job, every neighborhood, every apartment complex, every grocery store, every mall would be filled with the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him. That, my friend, would change the world. And that would change the world, wouldn't it? But here's the deal. We can't control what's going on with every follower of Jesus around the world, can we? Matter of fact, we can't even make that decision for every Jesus follower in our state or even in our town. But you know what? We can make a decision about one Jesus follower, right? And that's ourselves. We can choose to make that happen for ourselves if we want to. And so, you know, what kind of aroma are you carrying around with you? Is it a sweet, pleasing smell of Jesus? Or is it a smell that makes people kind of turn their nose up? Because it smells more like Charlie than Jesus. Right? I mean, that's the question for each of us. Let's decide to live our lives in a way that leaves the aroma of Jesus behind us wherever we go. Because here's the deal. When we're doing that, the sharing part will happen because that's what Jesus' mission is. And His mission is our mission. But we can't do that mission effectively on our own. Just like Jesus said, He could do nothing on His own. Jesus needed the Father in order to do His mission. We need Jesus in order to do our mission. And hey, if you know Jesus, you know the Father. So that's who we need, right? That's who we're getting. So we don't have to get worked up and anxious and uptight about, but I can't preach, or but I can't quote, you know, 50 different scriptures. I can't remember the Roman road. I try to follow the Roman road. If you don't know what that is, it's following certain verses in the book of Romans that lead from somebody, you know, dying going to hell because they don't have salvation through Jesus, all the way through knowing Jesus, right? And there's these scriptures all laid out. And some of y'all are like, man, I try to take the Roman road and I end up in down east somewhere because I just don't know which verses come where, right? We don't have to get uptight and worried about that stuff if we're abiding in Jesus, because He'll give us the words. It's His aroma, not ours, that we want people to have. And I got to tell you, my experience in life, and some of y'all got a few more years on me, and that's okay. Maybe your experience tells you something different. Some of y'all are younger whippersnappers, and that's evident by the fact that I used the word whippersnappers. And maybe take my word for it. We'll see if it doesn't turn out for you. But the harder that I see cells about Jesus, the more I see people try to be the heavy about Jesus, the less I see people respond positively to that and to Jesus. Where I see people respond to Jesus are when everyday, ordinary people just like us happen to talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives with other average, ordinary, everyday people. Or when we simply live abiding with Jesus and someone we know has a calamity in their life, And those are happening, it seems, more and more frequently and regularly for everybody, aren't they? And they're looking around going, my life is falling apart. And they see us and go, why isn't their life seeming to fall apart? Even when they went through that rough patch last year when their father passed away or when somebody got sick or when their fire burned down their house, they never like lost it. They were still just them. They might not say it like this, but they smell differently, right? Than I do, and then a lot of people I know. When we live our life abiding with Jesus, people see that. And oftentimes, they'll come to us to figure out what it is that's different, why we're different. Now, that doesn't mean we live a passive Christian life where we just wait for people to tell us. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we get so concerned and caught up in how do I share Jesus with somebody that we petrify ourselves into not doing anything. We don't need to do that. We need to abide in Jesus. Opportunities will come for us to share about what Jesus is doing in our life or what we're learning about Jesus or our relationship with Jesus. And that is what sharing is all about. So this week, I want you to think, what kind of aroma are you leaving behind? And you know what I mean there. I don't mean run out and buy some deodorant or something. When you go into a room on your college campus, in your high school, in your middle school, when you walk into your office at work, when you go into a department meeting, when you walk into Walmart or Food Lion or Lowe's, you know, when you get out at the gas station, what aroma, what are you leaving behind? What are you giving to the people that you encounter? Are you the kind of person that when you leave somewhere, people roll their eyes and say, well, thank the Lord, they're finally gone? Or do people say, man, I wish more people like that walked in here? And none of us are perfect. I certainly have times that I walk out of somewhere going, well, I did not do well with myself in that situation. The question is, do we just live with that and let that be the norm, or do we work at sharing the aroma of Jesus? That's the question. So, how are you going to share the aroma of Jesus this week? Who do you need to share the aroma of Jesus with this week? And if you're thinking, I just don't know, then go back to abiding, because that's where the aroma of Jesus comes from and gets on us anyway, right? When you walk really close behind your master, his dust will get on you. When you spend a lot of time with Jesus, his smell will get on you, his fragrance, his aroma. Who are you going to leave a smell with this week, and what kind of smell are you going to leave? What kind of aroma are you going to leave? Will it be the aroma of Christ? Let's pray. Father God, we love you so very much. We thank you, Lord, for your word and how it makes these truths so clear to us. Sometimes makes us wonder how we didn't see it before. Father, help us to prioritize the right thing as we think about sharing our faith, as we think about being a church that is that city on a hill, as we think about being a church that loves other people, that reaches out to the world. Father, help us not get ahead of ourselves. Help us to make sure that we are first and foremost abiding in Jesus, so that everything about us is covered in Jesus, so that our words sound like Jesus, that our actions look like Jesus, that our thoughts think like Jesus. Father, that only happens if we spend time with him. Help us to be faithful and consistent to do that. Father, thank you for opportunities you give us to spread the aroma of Christ throughout our lives. Help us to be faithful with that as well. We love you, Father. May everywhere we go, and may all the things that we do this week, may they all reflect and smell like Jesus, that others might know him. We love you. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.